Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship. Today I want to talk about honor a little bit. If you haven't noticed, I'm not wearing my jeans and t-shirt today. Not because I wanted to wear this. Let me tell you, men, I did not want to wear this whatsoever. But my wife asked me to dress up a little bit today, and I wanted to honor her wish. And so I did what any good husband would do, right, as I honored her wish. Don't worry, next week I'll be in jeans and a t-shirt. You can guarantee that. But today I wanted to honor her, and so I want to talk about honor a little bit. I want to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to jump forward a chapter in Ephesians, so grab your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to give some light, some understanding to what Paul is writing to a church that is in the city of Ephesus. He's writing to them some very specific ways of how to walk, how to live. What do we do? Like, we've received this grace, we've received the mercy and forgiveness of God. Now, what does it look like to live it out? That's the question that we've been asking the last couple weeks, and what we're going to continue to ask. And today, the message title is Living Honor or Walking Honor. How do we do that? And what we're going to see, Paul gives some clarity to it. So join me. I'm in chapter 6 of Ephesians, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All the parents said amen to this. Amen. Come on, a little louder. Amen to that verse right there. That'll preach all day long. Verse 2, honor your father and your mother. A couple more amens. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, I want to break this down a little bit because I think it's key that the first thing that Paul exhorts, now he's been talking about a marriage relationship just at the end of chapter 5, and now he's transitioning into the parent and child, and he says, parents, this is the way your child should grow. They should obey you. And now listen, if you're a kid in the room, listen up right here. Look at me up right here. Kids in the room. We got any kids in the room? We got a couple kids here sneaking around here. You're probably putting your head down right now. Listen, if we've ever wondered what God's will is for your life, kids, real simple right here is we can just take this to the bank. Obey your parents. That means when they ask you to take the trash out, yeah, and you take the trash out. When they say, hey, 10 p.m. curfew, you don't show up at 10 p.m., right, parents? You show up at 9:55, right? To obey. And that word obey is a word that we talked about a little bit last week. But that word, at the core of it, is submitting. And so what God has called children to do is to submit their will to the will of their parents. Now, there's some times to not do that. Okay, let me just be clear. When your parents ask you to do something that's not that's unbiblical, unethical, or against the law, you have an opportunity to say, hey, I'm not going to do that, all right? But pretty much anything else, even if you don't like it, what we're called to do as kids that are under the authority and covering of parents is to obey them. And then he moves on and he talks about honor. He quotes the fifth commandment that was given to Moses out of the 10. He says, honor your father and your mother. Honor. What does that word mean? It's a little different than obedience. The word honor means to express esteem or to revere, but I think the most accurate way to describe honor in the sense that Paul is talking here is to demonstrate value. To demonstrate value, to prize somebody. This is what this word means, honor. Now, what honor does not mean, and I want to make sure we understand this because I think sometimes honor is abused. Honor does not mean that you have to agree with me to honor me. That you have to align with me. And let me just make this clear. If somebody is forcing you to honor them, in and of itself, that is not honor. Do we understand that? You can't force somebody to honor you. Now, you can force somebody to obey you. You can do that all the time. But do you know that you can have obedience without honor? But if you have honor, what will flow out of that honor is obedience when they're under authority. And so I want to talk a little bit about honor today. One of the times where I experienced the most honor, I was in a football team meeting. It was a summertime going into my senior year, and we had our big football room at Ohio State, and my coach was down there, Coach Tressel, and he said, hey, we're going to do something special today, and everybody's like, okay, what's going on? You know, we're nearing the end of 2 days. We're all kind of beat up and whatnot, and Coach Tressel called me and a couple other guys forward, and he said, today, these guys are going to be recognized for their hard work, for their diligence, for the way they carry themselves. Today, we're going to give these young men a full scholarship. And in that moment, I'm going to tell you, I don't know up to that point that I felt more honored. Because what was being portrayed there? He wasn't just telling me, Derek, man, you're doing a good job in football. Keep it up. He wasn't just using his words. He was backing up his words and demonstrating value with something that had a great cost. A scholarship, which is a very limited number that you have in college, right? And he granted me a scholarship. And I'm going to tell you, I felt so honored because I felt valued. What I want you to know today is that authority, it reveals, or obedience reveals authority. But honor reveals value. I want you to know that. That's the difference. Obedience reveals authority. Honor reveals value. Now, if you are a child or if you are still depending on your parents for their home, for your food, for all your bills, then however old you are, that doesn't matter. You are still dependent upon your parents, and therefore you are under the authority of your parents, and what you are called to do is to obey them. But the moment that you leave the nest, which by the way is the hope of parenting, right? To send them out, amen to that. That's what I'm thinking, right? I got little ones. That's the goal, right? Is to send them out one day to go and to make much of Jesus and whatever they're called to do. That's my hope for my kids. But when we leave the authority or the covering of our parents and we move out and we are paying our bills and we are taking care of life, we no longer have to obey our parents. Did you know that? Obedience has a shelf life for a child. Once they are out of the authority of the parents, they are no longer called to obey. And so when you want to buy a house and your parents think you should buy another house, you do not have to listen to that person. And you especially don't have to listen to your mother-in-law. Hey, if she's here, don't laugh. Do not laugh. There's a season to obey your parents. But here's what I want us to know today. Honor does not have a shelf life. See the difference? As a man, until I was 18 and I moved away and started paying my bills, I was under the authority of my parents and I was called by God to obey them. Whatever they said, I was called to do it. I wish I did that more, Mom. I'm sorry, but I was called to do that. But the moment that I stepped out and I began to take care of myself when I got married and had children, I no longer was under the covering of my parents. And so therefore, I didn't have to give them authority. They had no authority, but I'm still called as a man to continue to honor them. No matter how old you are in this room, we are called to honor our parents. And what that means is that we express their value. And you're like, man, my parents were terrible. They were terrible parents. My mom didn't want to be around me. She was terrible. And I understand that. And I hate that for you. I hate that for you. I do. I hate that for you. But the scripture doesn't give us an out on honor. That's hard, I understand that. Now remember, honor doesn't mean you're just gonna love on them and everything's gonna be hunky-dunky, that's how I'm saying, but we can disagree and we don't even have to be buddy-buddy with somebody, even our parents, and yet we can still look at them in the eye and see them as an image bearer of God, and to see that at one time, God knit them together in their mother's womb before they ever did anything to you. They were born in the image of God, and because of that one thing, we can honor them. We can at least honor that. Because honor does not have a shelf life. Now, Paul continues on and he broadens out this idea of honor and he takes it from the parent-child relationship and he broadens out a little bit bigger to where I think all of us are going to be able to connect some way this morning. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. He says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same thing to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both your master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." Now, your Bible translation, instead of saying servant, it may say slave, right? Now, when we hear this word slave, we immediately begin to think about the ugly history of the United States, the way it started in slavery, and the brutality, and how nothing of God was represented in slavery. Can we get an amen to that? Right? It's totally against the will of God and the heart of God, slavery. But this is not the same type of slavery that we see in the context here. This slavery is actually totally different in most areas. Now, there were, for sure, some abuse of slavery in the days of Paul. I'm not going to say that. But by and large, it was a different type of bondservant or service where somebody would actually sell themselves into a service for usually 7 or so years. And after that service time was up, they would be released and made free. In some cultures, it was the age of 30. I don't know why that is. I'm over 30. I guess you're washed up after 30. But at 30, you're released to be free. And what's interesting in this culture is many times when a bondservant or a slave was given freedom, they would actually go back and they would continue in the same service they had. It's very interesting. So this is the context that Paul is speaking to, and many theologians would say that this type of relationship of authority and somebody who's under authority is very similar to that of somebody who has a supervisor at work, which most of us do. Some of you just got the cold chills when I even said supervisor at work, right? And Paul says some really interesting things here about what it looks like to walk the walk that Jesus walked in the context of where we go for 40 to 60, 70 hours a week. And the word is, honor those that are in authority over you. And what I want us to consider is the fact that your work is an ongoing opportunity to honor God. And just think about how your work would look. Whether you're a stay-at-home dad or mom, whether you're a retiree, whatever you find your time and put your time in to do, what would that look like if you did that thing that you do as if you were working unto the Lord to honor God? What would it look like? I think for most of us, it would look a lot different. And honestly, I think if we live this and walk this out, I think that the lowest unemployment rate of any group would be followers of Jesus. Because they're like, man, you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to work for me because of how you work. What if that was the status of us Jesus followers? Unfortunately, that's not the case in most work environments. It's just not. And it's a shame. When I was an area manager in the chemical industry world, I was in a manufacturing facility, and I had some people working for me, and there was this one guy, young guy, he was an operator, and he had aspirations to go back to college and finish college, and great guy. He would bring his Bible, and when I say Bible, I mean like it's had to weigh like 25 pounds. Like it was like this big old black leather Bible. Like I think he was doing curls on the way in. Like it was big old Bible, and every break he would take, he would go over in the control room, and he would crack open that big Bible, thump, right? And he would read and read, and I'm going to tell you, he talked about his faith and talked about Jesus all the time, all the time. There's just one little problem. He was really lazy. And so I began to hear about his lack of work ethic from his peers, his coworkers. I began to hear about when the work got to a place where there was a lot of work to be done. You know, at a manufacturing plant, there's usually a rhythm. And so whenever there was some work to be done, somehow, mysteriously, he would just disappear. Any of you guys know some people like that? Yeah, you're like, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Probably a different person, but there's out there, right? And so one day, he's in the control room, and I see him, and I'm trying to figure out how do I talk to this guy? How do I speak in life into him, but encourage him, but also hold him accountable, which are, by the way, all aligned with Jesus, right? Accountability, grace, all those things. They're not against each other. But how do I speak into this young man's life? And so I went in, and he had his Bible open, of course, that big old Bible was sitting there, and I said, hey, man, I love that you bring your Bible to work. That's so awesome, man. I love that every break that you are reading it. And I love that you are telling people about Jesus, man. Your faith is evident in the way you speak. But that big old Bible that you're reading every day, I want you to know this, is that as you're reading that Bible, what people are reading is the way that you treat them and the way that you work. You've probably heard the adage before, the only Bible that somebody's going to read is the life that you live. And so I shared that with him. And I said, man, you're talking a big game about Jesus, but you're undermining your testimony in the way that you're working or the way that you're not working. I said, just imagine if you put some effort and some focus into what you're doing and you began to get the trust and the respect of your coworkers, how much better they would hear the words that you're saying. And I would challenge you with that today. I don't know if you would consider yourself that lazy guy, or maybe you're like, man, I work my rear end off, and that's great. But what would change this week, whether you're a teacher finishing up the year, whether you're an operator at Eastman or Domtar, you're a supervisor, you own your own business, you're in vocational ministry, I don't know. What would it look like this week for you to approach your work as if it's an opportunity to honor God? Not honor just men, right? We don't want to just be people pleasers, but what would that look like if that was our posture? That's a question that we should wrestle with as we follow Jesus, because that's what it looks like to live out this lifestyle of honor. Now, the other thing that I love that I see in this text, the last thing I want us to look at, is that he says in verse 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. The last thing I want you to write in your notes is that God sees and God rewards. God sees and God rewards. Now let me just make really clear, just so we don't have any misconception here. Salvation is a gift by grace and faith alone, right? We all agree with that? Yeah, okay. Nothing you can do to earn it, nothing you can to deserve it. It's a free gift from Jesus himself on the cross, okay? But here's the thing. Jesus spoke about rewarding people a lot in his teaching. And the reality is that salvation is a free gift, but when we get to heaven, there's gonna be different rewards given to different people. I hope we know that. Like, God loves to reward those that join him and walk with him and do the things that he would do on this earth. He loves that, and he rewards someday. And I just want this to be an encouragement to all of us, especially here, moms. You've been on my heart this week, obviously. And here's what I know about my wife, and what I know about all the moms in this room, is that you do so many things that nobody ever sees. You sacrifice, you serve, you wipe up messes, you clean the dishes, you go to work and come back, and you parent, you teach. You do so many things that nobody ever knows, and that can be really, really hard. But here's what you need to know today. God sees, and God rewards. The good things that we do when nobody's watching at work, the good things that we do where we align ourselves with the kingdom, at work, at home, in a relationship, God sees it and God rewards it. Listen, I'm telling you, one of the most honoring things you can do is to honor someone when they do not deserve honor. Anybody else say that's hard? So hard. But what I don't see in here is an asterisk anywhere in the scripture that says honor your authority in your life as long as they are deserving of it. Does anybody else have an asterisk in their Bible that says that? No, mine doesn't have that. You know why? Because it's not in there. We're called to honor the Lord by the way that we interact with people, the way that we express their value, the way that we look them in the eyes, the way that we speak to them, the way that we encounter them when we see them. What would it look like to live that kind of honor in the life that you live? What would that look like? And I want you to think about that this week. That's the homework, the takeaway today is what would it look like for you to embrace this life that God has given us? Say, man, honor God with what you do. Honor him and see what he'll do. There's two verses that I want to close with that I think are a great encouragement and also a challenge for us. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone. Can everyone just say everyone? Told the first service. You know what that translates from the Greek? You got it. Everyone. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor or the leadership over your life. Honor everyone. Man, what if we took that posture as a church, as men and women following Jesus? And the last one is Romans 12:10. This is Paul writing, the same Paul that wrote Ephesians, writes to the church in Rome. He says, love one another with brotherly affection. Man, just imagine this community if we just did that. But then he has this amazing challenge. He says, outdo one another in showing honor. If you're a person who likes a challenge, I'm gonna challenge you. I wanna out-honor you in our community. Like, what if that was our hope? Not to just get ahead of somebody at work, not to position ourselves better in culture and to try to make some more money. What if those things, they're good, they're not bad, but what if our hope was, I wanna show people that they're valuable in God's eyes? What if that was my hope of my life? What would I do different? How would I live? How would I speak to people? How would I look them in the eyes? How would I express honor? if that was one of my missions, was to outdo one another with honor. I think it would benefit our city greatly. It would benefit our workplaces greatly, and it would change our families and the dynamics of our relationships. Here's the thing, it's really hard, so don't hear me saying I got this all figured out, church, because I don't. I'm not great at it all the time. But here's what Paul says a little bit earlier in chapter 5. He says, this is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. What I'm asking you and encouraging you to do is not something that's natural. It requires the power of God flowing in us and for us to say yes. And so I just want to pray that over us today, that we would embrace this call to walk in honor. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we would do so for the name of Jesus. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We honor the moms in this room. And Lord, we honor life just in this church, not just mamas, not just daddies, not just baby. We honor life because you've created every person in your image, even somebody who we hate and is our enemy. You still made them and knit them together in their mother's womb. We recognize that today. And so, Lord, even those people that we do not respect, we do not agree with, Lord, I pray that we would die to ourselves and we would show honor, whatever the way that looks like. Lord, I pray that our workplaces would be transformed as we say yes to you, and we would honor those in authority in our life. We would honor our coworkers, that we wouldn't just talk a big game about the kingdom of God and Jesus, but we would express it in meaningful ways for the good of those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this last song about love.